Open your Bibles today, please, to the book of Luke, chapter 10. The book of Luke, chapter 10. We're going to look at one of my favorite stories in the Word of God today. And we're talking about the Good Samaritan, which is a tremendous example of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's just a tremendous, tremendous example. So Luke chapter 10, we are going to look at something I hope will encourage your heart this morning, but I also hope that it will challenge all of us and maybe to take a look, an introspective look perhaps, into our own heart, into our own life, and just kind of see maybe there are some areas that God would like to stretch, maybe some areas that God would like to help you with, and I believe the Lord can do that. Please stand in honor and reverence to the reading of the Word of God. Luke chapter 10, we'll begin our reading in verse 25. The Bible starts and says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him." Now, a lawyer in the Bible is not like you would think in ordinary life today. A lawyer in the Bible was literally, he was an expert in the law, the Old Testament. He was, and as an expert in the Old Testament, he was supposed to be one that could then take the Word of God, the Old Testament, and apply it to everyday life and allow people to understand it. So that's the context of who we're looking at here this morning. The Bible says a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him. So his motive is already revealed. He doesn't care about Jesus. He's trying to tempt the Lord, saying, "Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" That's a good question. He said to him, "What is written in the law?" So Jesus now is going to speak into it. He's going to answer his question with a question. The Bible tells us, "What is written in the law? How readest thou?" And he answering said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." And Jesus now, and he said to him, "Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live." Verse 29 says, "But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor?" So now he's perplexed because Jesus has responded to his questions with the other questions. So now he's like, "Well, wait a minute. Who, my neighbor? Who's my neighbor? You know, who's my neighbor?" So Jesus said unto him, he says in verse 30, he's going to illustrate it now with a parable. A parable in the Bible is simply an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And Jesus is going to illustrate who our neighbors are by this great passage. Look at the verse 30. "And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side." Verse 33. "But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was." And this is beautiful. I love this text. "He came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him." I've told you for years, sometimes people say compassion is love. No, friend. Compassion is love enough to help, love enough to do something about it. That's what compassion is. And the Bible tells us, verse 34, "And went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee." Notice now, Jesus is summing it up. "Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves?" And he said, "He that showed mercy on him." Then said Jesus unto him, "Go and do thou likewise." Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for the privilege we have of being able to preach your precious word. We thank you, God, that we have on this pulpit this morning a life-changing book. And God, we thank you that you're a life-changing God, a life-changing Savior. So, Father, I pray as we press in this morning for just the next few minutes and look at this tremendous story, I pray, God, that you'll use it in our lives to really focus in on what matters. And we love you, Lord. Please help us to love you more. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. And amen. Thank you, folks. You may be seated. The Good Samaritan. The Bible tells us, I want to kind of walk us through this text this morning. And I want you to notice, first of all, the herders. The herders. The Bible tells us about, I'm sorry, Miss Linda. Miss Linda Vaughn told me yesterday, she said, "Preacher, you're wearing progressive lenses. You've got to leave them on to get used to it." I hate them. Pray for me. Because when I look up, I can't really see. I can't see your pretty smiling faces. I hope you're smiling anyway. But anyway, so in the text, the Bible tells us that this certain man, he leaves and he's going down Jericho here. And the Bible tells us he's attacked. He's attacked by thieves, by these robbers. And they beat him up and literally they leave him half dead. I read one commentator say that during that time of the world, Herod had dismissed a lot of people. Thousands and thousands of people lost their job under him. And poverty was perhaps at an all-time high. And people were doing anything and everything they could to make a living and anything and everything they could, but often they found themselves it wasn't enough. So what they often do is they would resort to stealing. They would resort to robbery. It was a very dangerous journey. It was a very, very dangerous trek that this man would have been on. He gets robbed. You see, ladies and gentlemen, sadly, and even in our world, in our culture, there are those that like to hurt people. There are those that like to inflict pain and like to inflict harm on people. The Bible tells us from the text, certain man, verse 30, went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell among thieves. They stripped him of his raiment. They wounded him. The word wounded carries with it a image of actually hitting with blows. They beat him up. They departed and they left him literally half dead. Thieves, these herders, those that want to hurt people. I read one preacher and I thought it was just pretty powerful kind of a look and an insight into the thieves as far as who is a thief. And one preacher writes, he says, "Now there is an attitude that I think most people in the world have today, which would be categorized as lust. Simply put," he says, "what is yours is mine, I'll take it." And that's what these thieves had. That was kind of their attitude. What is yours is mine, I'll take it. And the preacher goes on, he says, "There are far more thieves than you might realize. The robber who takes money that does not belong to him is a thief. The rapist who takes sexual pleasure from someone not his spouse is a thief. The adulterer who steals another man's wife is a thief. Corporate executives and CEOs who, you know, bilk innocent stockholders of billions of dollars are thieves. But you can be a thief in more ways than one, than that. You might be a thief here today," he says, "and not even realize it." He says, "I'll give you a definition of a thief you may never have heard before. God has given us both things and people. God has given us things to use, and God has given us people to love. But when you begin to love things and use people, you become a thief. If you are by nature either a taker, that is, you take things that don't belong to you, or you're a keeper, you don't share things that do belong to you. In other words, you are either a taker or a keeper, but you're not a giver, then you're a thief. If your attitude," this writer writes, he said, "if your attitude is, what is in it for me, you're probably a thief. If your attitude is, I want my needs met, I don't care about what others, you're probably a thief. If you say, I want it my way, and I don't care what happens to others, you're probably a thief. Your attitude is, just make sure I get mine, I don't care about anyone else, you're probably a thief." You see, ladies and gentlemen, in this text, the guys that beat this man up, they could care less about him. They could care less about how he felt. They could care less about what was going on in his life. They were only in it for them, for themselves. And you have herders in life. And sadly, and we live in a world where people love to cause hurt. They love to cause pain. They love to inflict physical pain into people. And many of you that are here this morning, there's no doubt in my mind that perhaps you've been hurt and physically hurt. And sometimes people like to do that. There are those that like to inflict, you know, emotional pain on people. You know, and sometimes, and I mean this, sometimes the emotional side of the trauma can be far worse than the physical. For quite a while now, I've been actually really chewing on a new series that I'm going to develop, and we're going to title it Scars. And we're going to talk about some of the things in life that can come into our life that can hurt us and can really hurt us and scar us for life. I was watching a judge who was giving sentence to somebody who had, you know, done something horrific to a child. And the judge, when he was giving the sentence, and the man got, I believe he received life in prison, which is mercy. But anyway, that's another subject, another sermon. But the judge said to him, he said, "What you've done to this child is horrific." He said, "Because what this child, what has happened to this child will haunt them the rest of their life." You see, the thief comes. John said of the devil, he comes. What does a thief come to do? He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. The thieves, they didn't care what, they could care less what this man's story was. All they cared about was their lust, was their greed. You have the herders, sometimes inflicting physical or emotional or even spiritual pain. David in Psalm 3, you remember that great text? David, the context, he's running for his life from his son Absalom, who wants to overthrow his kingdom. And David says of that moment in his life, and he said, "Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God." There were those that were saying, "See, David, the message you're in, not even God can help you." And that was inflicting deep hurt, in a literally kind of like a soul wound. A wound that is so deep and so crushing that it just absolutely kind of knocks you. It knocks the breath out of you, takes the life out of you, and there it leaves you just really a feeling of hopelessness. So there are those that hurt us. But second of all, notice not only the hurters, notice the hurting. The Bible tells us, and we've already read the verse, but we're just going to kind of trek through this for just a moment. Because the story begins to unfold and we're introduced to some more characters in the narrative. So the Bible says, he's wounded, he's stripped of his raiment, he's left half dead, but we now see some that have come into the story. You see, I try to get us to walk in the text, and I want us to not just look at this portion of Scripture as just simply black and red letters on a white page. I want us to dig down, I want us to walk in it with our mind, and imagine us seeing this unfold. So you're on your journey, and all of a sudden you look over, and there's somebody that is absolutely on the brink of death. They're bruised, they're battered, they're bloodied, they're half naked. There's no doubt if they're left alone, they're going to die. And there you see them. And maybe as you're walking by, we're now going to be introduced to a couple of guys, three actually, that respond kind of in a different way than you would think. The Bible tells us in verse 31, "And by chance, there came down a certain priest." So automatically our mind focuses in on this man as a religious person. Matter of fact, these two are religious people. They're those that, to be quite honest, should have been ones that exemplified what it means to really love people. What it means to love people when they're down and they're out. And what it means to truly love and show compassion on people that cannot give anything back to you. You see, ladies and gentlemen, when I study the life of my Lord, I find that Jesus Christ was such a Savior. He was a Savior that would step in. This is a good word. If you're listening, say, "I'm listening." All right. He was a Savior that would often step into our messes and infuse it with His mercy and grace and His love to change the situation. So the Bible tells us this first man, he's a priest. And as he comes and he sees this man, the Bible tells us, now again, you got to understand the mindset of a priest. A priest was not allowed to touch a dead body, so there he is. So what is he going to do? I think he did something like this. Maybe I'm right in this. I think he's walking down. He looks over and he sees this man half dead and he thinks to himself, "Uh-oh." He looks to his left. He looks to his right. And he keeps on walking. He said, "Preacher, why would he have looked to the right and the left? Because I think he was concerned that somebody may see him as they may see what he's about to do, and that is nothing." This man, this priest, would not help this person because he was not going to risk contamination. You see, he's a priest. He doesn't want to touch something. He doesn't want to touch somebody that could possibly affect him. Stay with this. That could affect him in a negative way. He doesn't want to risk, you know, contaminating his religious position. I'll be honest, ladies and gentlemen. Religion takes more people to hell than a bar stool does. Did you hear me? Those that think, "Well, preacher, surely I'm okay because I have religion." I've said this once. If I've said it once, I've said it 100 times. Jesus Christ did not come to establish religion. Jesus Christ came to bridge the gap between God and man, thus make it possible for you and I to have forgiveness and go to heaven when we die. Can I get a witness? He's a great God. He's a great Savior. So this priest says, "No, sir, no, ma'am. I'm not risking my life. I'm not risking my being contaminated. So I'm going to keep on walking." So there that man lays. He continues to lay there. Can you see him? Can you see him? He's bloodied. Can you see him? He's battered. Can you see him? He's stripped half naked. And there he lies. Can you hear him? "Help me." Can you hear him? "Oh, help me. Can somebody help me?" Maybe he doesn't have the energy. Maybe he doesn't have the breath in his body to cry out for help. But the point being, that priest saw a need and refused to do it. God forbid any of us see a need and refuse to act. See a need and refuse to show love and show mercy. I'm telling you, under God, ladies and gentlemen, we have a Savior that wants us. I'm getting ahead of myself, but that's okay because I'll come back to it. We have a Savior that when needs arise and issues arise and hurts arise and people's lives who have been hurt by people that are thieves and robbers and they're only in it for themselves, they're only in it in for what they can get out of it, and it leaves people devastated. You and I that know Jesus and you and I that say we love Jesus, we better allow ourselves to step into the pain, to step into the hurt, and not pass by just kind of like nothing is wrong. So we see this priest. Now we're going to see the Levite. The Bible says there's another fella in the text here. Hang on a minute. Let me get my progressive lenses on here. They're not big enough, though, brother, because every time I move, you go all over the map. So, Mike, so I'm going to try to focus. Yeah, it's just, Mike and I are having a conversation right now. We'll be with you in just a moment. Look at the text. Verse 32. "And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side." He did the same thing the priest did, but I think he did it from a different perspective, a different motive. The priest was a man that was not willing to risk, you know, contaminating himself. But the Levite was one that was not willing to risk his reputation. You know, I mean, I kind of see this as I heard a preacher, I read a pastor said this. He said, this Levite was one that maybe had the attitude, "Hey, man, I'm just the preacher. I'm not a paramedic, right? I can't help him." But you know something, ladies and gentlemen, here's what I found in my life. You may not be able to do everything, but under God, you can do something. Did you hear me? You may not be able to do everything, but under God, you can do something. And if Jesus Christ, please hear this, if Jesus Christ has radically changed your life and infused your life with his love, mercy, and grace, shouldn't we be like him? Let me ask you a question. When's the last time? When's the last time you got down to the dirt and the mire and walked into people's world to minister to them? I'm going to brag on my people just for a minute. I'm thankful to God for our church because I truly mean this. We have a church that loves to minister to people. We really do. On a monthly basis, we go down, a lot of our people will go down on a monthly basis and minister to the homeless veterans in downtown Detroit. They take them food. Miss Tracy's here. I love you with all my heart. She owns a catering business. And she even said to me, she said, Preacher, I'll be honest. She said, I don't know how much longer. God, I'm getting ahead of myself. She said, Preacher, I don't know. She said, I don't want to just be a caterer in my life. She said, I want to do more for the Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom. And she uses her business to honor the Lord. And she uses her business on a monthly basis. And you said, Pastor, Tracy's never told us that. She would never tell you that. But I'm going to tell you that because I'm her pastor. And she'll cook food and she'll take it down. She started a nonprofit, City of Refuge. Right, Trace? Started a nonprofit, City of Refuge, and it helps people like you can't imagine. A few weeks back, she called and said, Preacher, I'm picking up perishable items and it's good food. It's all kinds of food. She said, there's so much food. I've got to get rid of it. So my wife, she jumped in there and literally, was that a Monday? Monday or Tuesday, on a Monday, literally they divided it all up. And if I'm right in this, correct me if I'm wrong, if I'm right in this, by what was given, you're able to provide food for nine families. Nine families. Isn't that great? You say, Preacher, I never knew we did that. You don't, I know. You say, well, why don't you tell us? If I told you everything that our people do, we'd be here for hours. So many things that go on behind the scenes that you never imagine. You say, Pastor, how can I get involved? Thank you. We'll put you to work. I went to a couple this morning. I said, God's laid, I'm in it. I promise you this. Lord's laid John on my heart. And I told my wife this. I said, I'm going to talk to a couple in our church. I said, about really getting acclimated and getting involved in ministry. They've been coming. They're faithful. And they're reading their Bible and growing in the Lord. And I said to him, just as I was walking in, I said to him, I said, hey, brother, we're going to meet soon. I said, well, we want to get you plugged in. I said, we want to get you involved in ministry. Let's do it. Preach the great. Let's do that. That's what it's all about. You know my heart. We're not here to build a kingdom. Pastor Tracy's not a king, and we're not building a kingdom. Jesus is the king, and we're trying to further his kingdom. Can I get a witness in this room? And we're trying to represent him to a lost and dying world. And I'm telling you, under God, here's why. Here it is. We want to show hurting people that Jesus loves them. Jesus cares. Jesus cares about their hurts. So this Levite, I'm not a preacher. I'm a preacher, not a paramedic. I can't help anybody. I'm not going to risk my reputation. Well, preacher, if people saw me talking to certain type of person, they would think bad about me. You know, here's the thing, though. When I study the life of my Lord, you know who Jesus was often found hanging around? Publicans and sinners. I'm thankful that he hung around sinners because I are one, right? To hang around a publican, that was a big deal in that day. Because publicans were the tax collectors. The tax collectors were hated in the first century, and they're not like, well, I shouldn't go there. Right? How many of you love paying taxes? Say amen. Not one of you. See? So even in this day, but the point is, they were hated. But Jesus stepped into their lives and tried to minister to them and tried to show them that there's more to life than just taking. There's more to life than just taking and taking and taking. The greatest thing you could do in your life is give it away. Give your talents, give your treasures, give it away and let the Lord Jesus use it. Hold everything. This is the mistake that we make sometimes as people, as created beings of the Lord. The Lord's created us. And if you're born again, you're on your way to heaven if you're born again. But what we do, if we're not careful, we can have a hoarding mentality. And we think, oh, we got to hold on to it. Oh, I got to hold on to it. I got to hold on to it. Only to realize, ladies and gentlemen, what you hold on to, I promise you under God, what you hold on to, you'll lose. You'll lose it. So what do? You hold everything you have with an open hand. You hold everything that you have with open hands. Dr. Warren Wiersbe said, we do not, and we are not manufacturers of the blessings of God. We are just simply distributors of it. We don't manufacture God's blessings. We just distribute it as He blesses us with it. And if that means I can come alongside. So now let's look at this other guy. I'm almost done. I was talking to David, who'll be preaching tonight. I said, "Hey, bud." He goes, he come up during handshake. He said, "What sermon you want me to preach, preacher?" I said, he goes, "I got two." I was like, "All right." I said, "All right, what are you?" He said, "Evangelistic and expository." I said, "Now, you'll appreciate this about your pastor because I care about you." I said, "Well," I said, "how long are the sermons?" He said, "Well, the evangelistic sermon's 11 minutes. Don't amen that. Don't you dare amen that." He said, "Well, how long is expository?" He said, 13. So being the pastor that loves you, guess which one I picked? I said, "Expository." But "you've got 20 minutes. So you got to get some jokes or something. We'll help you with that." Now, I'm teasing. One of our preachers one time was preaching. He was trying his best to get jokes across. And I finally just hollered out, "Just preach, brother. Please just preach. Just preach," right? I said, "Preacher, where are you going with the sermon today?" "Here's where I'm going. If you'll allow God to stretch your life, if you'll allow God to stretch your life, I promise you, He'll bring things in your life so that you could be a blessing to it. He'll bring people across your path. He'll bring needs across your path that you then, with His help, and your resource, and your love that He has put in your heart, you'll be able to be used of God to show people what Jesus would do if He were physically here. The Bible tells us, look at the passage. So the Levite, he passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, now you got to know a little bit about the text. A Samaritan in the first century was absolute. The Jews absolutely hated the Samaritan people. They hated them. Literally, they were not 100% Gentile, and they were not 100. They were considered half breed people. They weren't pure. That's the way they were looked at. They hated them. There was one instance where a couple of the Lord's disciples wanted to call fire down from heaven and destroy one of the Samaritan villages. And a Jew, any Jew in their right mind, would not associate with Samaritan people. But yet Jesus, remember who He's talking to? He's talking to a supposed expert in the law. Somebody that can look at the Bible in the Old Testament, make application to everyday life so that it helps the people to live for the Lord better. And Jesus said, "You got a priest, walked right by it. You got a Levite, walked right by it. And that lawyer, I promise you, I think when that lawyer heard the priest, he pressed in. When he heard the Levite, he pressed even closer." And then Jesus drops a bomb on him. A certain Samaritan. You could have heard a pin drop in that crowd. A Samaritan. You mean God can use a Samaritan? Are you saying Jesus, teacher, are you saying that God can use a Samaritan? I'll add, God can not only use a Samaritan, He can use a sinner. Can I get a witness? He can use sinners. He can use sinners, ladies and gentlemen. It doesn't matter. You say, "Pastor, I didn't come from the right side of the tracks." None of us did. None of us did when it come to God. You say, "Preacher, I don't have the religious pedigree that some have." Great. What I've seen, sometimes religious pedigree, all it does is puff you up and fill you with pride. I tell you, I would to God that every single one of us understand that if anything good happens in our lives and through our lives, it'll be because Jesus Christ chose to use us. I got to get my licks in, David, because you're taking the pulpit tonight. So I got to give me that 11-minute sermon. I'll add it to mine real quick, Steve. We see the herders, we see the herding, we see the helpers. The Bible tells us, but a certain Samaritan, verse 33, as he journeyed, came where he was, when he saw him, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. You see, the helpers, this good Samaritan was a person that simply said, I'll do something. I may not be able to do everything, but I'll do something. I'll walk into his pain. And look at the beauty of the story. Verse 34, it says, and he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast. Are you tracking with me? Are you seeing this unfold? Are you seeing this play out in your own mind and in your own heart? This man's helpless. This man's hurting. This man is absolutely near death. He's bruised. He's battered. He's bloodied. He needs somebody to show him love and somebody to show compassion. And the Bible tells us he sets him on his own beast, verse 34, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, literally the next day when he departed, he took out 2 pence. You see, he not only helped him, he provided for him financially. Preacher, you got to know, preacher, pastor, I work hard for my money. You're missing the point, sir. The point is this, it's not your money. It's God's. And God's blessed you with it. And God's chosen to give it to you. The Bible says, verse 35, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, so the innkeeper says, take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I'll repay thee. Look at verse 36, and we're going to talk now, lastly, about the hope. So the herders, the hurting, the helpers, now notice the hope. Jesus says, which now of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves? You remember the context? Jesus says, he said, love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said, okay, who's your neighbor? You see, sometimes, and just like this lawyer did, sometimes the only people that we consider our neighbors are the people that we like, are the people that are like us, the people that, you know, can add to our lives, the people that can, you know, because you know what I mean. Sometimes, I've got needs, and I want my needs met. Remember what the one writer said about a thief is often, it can be someone, not just somebody that physically assaults somebody or physically does something or steals something from someone. A thief can be somebody that just all you care about is your will. All you care about is what is in it for you. God's given us two things. He's given us people. He's blessed us with things. And ladies and gentlemen, things to use for his honor and glory, but also people to love, and that's what God gives. But so many times, if we're not careful, and I say this even to God's people, if we're not careful, we can fall into the trap that Satan wants to place before us, and we can fall into the mindset that, no, it's all about my comforts. It's all about what makes me feel good. It's all about what makes me, you know, not have to be stretched. If I've learned anything about my Lord, I trusted him when I was 16 years of age. And if I've learned anything about my God, one thing is this. Jesus Christ loves, this is a good word. Jesus Christ loves to stretch us beyond our natural abilities. He loves to do that. And the reason he loves to do that, because often what it does is that it leaves us simply humbling ourselves and acknowledging, God, unless you do it. God, unless you do it, it's not going to get done. God, unless you move. Unless you work. And that's not putting God on a spot and putting God and saying, God, you have to do this. Listen, if God threw us all in hell, he'd be just in doing so. But he's a God of mercy. He's a God of compassion. So the Samaritan, And here's the thing about the Samaritan. He was the unlikely person to do it. But you know what else I've noticed about my Lord? He often uses many unlikely sources. He uses unlikely people. He uses unlikely sources. He uses unlikely talents. He uses unlikely things for his honor, for his glory, and to help hurting people. So the hope is this. Jesus then says to him, verse 37, and he said, he's asking a question, Mr. Law Expert. And by the way, that was the first century. Progressive lenses come off. The experts in the law, the lawyers, that was the first century. But I'm telling you, under God, we live in a day where the supposed experts can often creep in to our churches. And, well, preacher, you know, the Bible says this. And, well, pastor, the Bible's this and that. Yeah, the Bible also says to love your neighbor as yourself. Ooh, that's a big deal. So to end it, look at the text. Who's your neighbor? Which now of these three, verse 36, thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves? So the expert in the law then responds, and he said, he that showed mercy on him. And here's the hope. Then said Jesus unto him, unto the lawyer. He's just talking about a Samaritan, a hated person, a hated sect in that day. Jesus says, go and do thou likewise. Go and do thou likewise. You may not be able to do everything, but you can do something. You may not be able to say, pastor, but I mean, going down to Detroit and you know, feeding the homeless veterans. I mean, pastor, come on. Yeah. But here's what also I know about my Lord. Jesus said one time that you cannot even give a cup of cold water in the name of the Lord without a reward not being given. God will reward that. Just a minuscule cup of water. I think, and I often follow, and my schedule's crazy, and I have never been able to go down there. But I watch it, and I see it on Facebook, and I see our people, and I see the smiles on their faces, and I see the joy in their heart as they serve these men. And as they love on, they give them a hot meal. Not too long ago, several months back, we put together a ton of socks and hygiene products and things, and put little bags together, and we'll give them to them. You say, pastor, yeah, but come on, preacher. We live in a world that, I mean, let's face it, pastor, sometimes people are just the demise of their own choices. You're right. You're absolutely right. I mean, come on, preacher, sometimes we, you know, come on, pastor. We make our bed, you know, sometimes we have to lie in it. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, I'm thankful that my Savior, he sometimes, a lot of times, steps in my life when I make bad choices. And he infuses my life with his grace, and he infuses it with his mercy. And if there's one thing I desire my heart before God to be, I desire to be a person that is a giver, not a taker. Why is that? Because Jesus, when it came to my life, Jesus gave me everything. And he continues to give me everything. The invitation today is this: if you're here and you do not know Christ as your Savior, friend, you need to. You need Jesus more than your next breath. And you need to ask him to forgive you of your sin, and you need to ask God to save you. You will not get to heaven without Jesus Christ. Period. Exclamation point. You won't do it. You have to have him as Savior. Say, preacher, I know the Lord's my Savior, but I just kind of been living a selfish life, and I've just been kind of, you know, just worried about my own comforts and worried about my own this and my own that. That's a miserable way to live. It's a miserable way to live. The greatest life you can live is living in it for others, loving your neighbor as yourself. Right? Stand with me, please, for hymn invitation. Those awaiting baptism, you can make your way back and get ready for baptism. If you're here today and need Christ, We hope indeed that you'll repent and trust the gospel. Trust the Lord Jesus. Believe the gospel. If you're here today and you need a church home, hey, our doors are wide open. We'd love to have you. I promise you that. We'll serve the Lord together. We'll honor Christ, and we'll seek to further his kingdom. You come as we sing. What's number, Brother Stephen?
Hymn number 436.